As we dive in today, I'm going to ask us a tough question. But as you sit down and process, you might need to write yourself an email. I don't know about you, but if I have to do something and I don't have the capacity to do it right now, I write myself an email so that I see something later. If that works for you, man, do it. Because the question that I'm going to ask you to process, I don't want you to just give your knee-jerk reaction. I don't want you to just throw out the whatever comes to your mind or what you think that the people around you may want to hear. Because the power of this question comes in your true response, the response of your heart. Because your response to this question reveals where you are actually placing your hope. Your true answer to this question, it will reveal to you where you are placing your trust, your reliance, your expectation. And so for me, as I've been processing this, it hasn't just been as I've been preparing for this sermon. God has been working on me and asking me this question for a couple of months now, and it's been miserable. Because I'm noticing that my answer from my lips and my mind is different than the way that I'm functionally living this out. And so the question I'm asking you today, I'm asking you to be honest, just like as I'm still trying to process through this and realize that my answer isn't as true as my head would say, but I'm still in process here. And so the question I'm asking you today is a simple question. I'm just asking you, who is in control? Who is in control? And so there's only two options. Is it you or is God in control? Are you in control or is God in control? And I'm here to tell you that in my mind and with my lips, I would tell you that yes, God is in control. But the heart reality and the way that I am functioning in my life, I'm still very much functioning as if I'm in control. And the reason we're going here is because I'm realizing that if I'm in control, my hope is based on myself. And so for you, the same thing. If you're being honest with yourself and you're trying to process through this question, if God is in control, then your hope is sure. But if you're in control, your hope is as loose as some gravel. Yep. And so what I've realized is that I have been relying on my own control. I've been relying on my own abilities. I've been establishing my own plans, and then I have the audacity to ask God to bless my own plans. I'm just being honest with myself. I don't know if we're allowed to be honest, but I'm just going to be honest with myself. I asked God, see, look at that. The Spirit's hitting me again. I asked God to bless my own plans. Okay, I feel that, receive that. I'm sorry. I develop the level of safety that I enjoy. I develop a level of comfort that I function out of. That I develop this own predictability, and these things I have functionally placed my trust. And so what I'm asking myself and I'm asking you to do is just ask, man, who is in control? Who is in control? Because I've realized that I have misplaced my hope. I have misplaced my hope. And I have this feeling that I'm not alone in this room. So I'm asking you, who is in control? Where have you placed your hope? So have you placed your hope in your own plans? The things that you want to see happen, the desires of your heart. Have you placed your hope in seeing those things come? Have you placed your hope in the success of what you want to see happen, the success of your business, the success of whatever? Have you placed your hope in your own ability? Have you placed your hope in other people? maybe your boss, this organization. You have this great hope that your kids just might turn out okay. Have you placed your hope in your health? In your financial security? Have you placed your hope in this economy? Have you placed your hope in the government? You see, and so the thing that's dangerous is that we don't see anything wrong with having our hope in any of these other places until the doo-doo hits the fan. Right? Unless something happens to the things that we've placed our hope in and we realize that, oh, junk, I can't rely on this anymore. Oh, this didn't happen the way I wanted it to. Oh, I got this diagnosis. Oh, this. And when we have our hope in these things and everything's going as we want it to, it's all good. We don't even realize that we're in danger. But the moment that something happens, all of a sudden, it's meaningless. All of a sudden, we have no hope. So again, I'm just going to ask you, man, who is in control? And I'm going to get a little bit more in your business to bring it all up into your own zip code where you're living here. I want to ask you, what happens to your hope when you get that health diagnosis? What happens to your hope when your plans don't work out? When the business that you rely on to feed your family, when it crumbles, what happens to your hope? What happens to your hope when there is an unforeseen layoff in your company? What happens to your hope when your boss that promised you this promotion gives the promotion to somebody else? What happens when the economy plummets? What happens when our hope is in the government? I mean, the last couple of years have really revealed that maybe we've placed a little bit too much hope in the government. And again, don't shoot me. I'm just trying to be God's blessing for all of us to relinquish control and hope in these things. I don't care. I'm not talking either side. Let's just be real, okay? I'm just saying that the moment that something happens that you don't like that the government decides to do, what happens to your hope? We've seen a lot of craziness go down. I think maybe it's an indication that our hope is in something that's never meant to be in. Yep, but I don't know. I'll just leave that there. What happens when your family betrays you? What happens when your marriage begins to crumble? What happens to your hope when your spouse that you love, you just found out that they've been cheating on you? What happens to your hope when it is built on these things? Again, nothing is wrong when everything's going good. But it's really bad when it ain't going good. And so this is kind of the space that Peter is writing into. He's trying to help us be able to understand. And I believe that this text is underlying asking us, man, who's in control? Who's in control? Are you in control or are you allowing God to be in control? If our hope is fixed on God, if God is truly the one in control of our lives, then we have a solid hope. And that's what we're going to walk through and see this today. But listen, we need to spend some time to hash this out because this is a whole new level of Christianity that we don't talk about in America. And we love you as your shepherds enough to be able to help you be able to understand. Look, the Bible, it doesn't just call you to just believe in Jesus and everything's going to be good. I mean, read the New Testament. Almost every single page of the New Testament is, hey, suffering, 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 disappointment, heartache, heartache, heartache. But what do you do in the midst of it? And so, yeah, persevere. But how do we persevere if we have empty hope? We got nothing. Yep. But while we are enduring, Peter is saying we have a living hope. Yes, sir. We have a living hope. I'm going to ask you, who's in control? I just want to get you to think about your life and your pursuit of Jesus. Because when Jesus talks about what it means to follow him, He says this in Luke 9:23. He says that if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Okay, who's in control? I mean, there's a lot of areas in my life where I'm realizing I'm living like this. Closed-fisted. This is how I want it to go, God. But if this is what it means to follow Jesus, what is that saying? I mean, Chris, do you trust me enough to be open-handed and allow me to be God? It's this invitation to trust in God in newer ways. Who's in control? 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, they say this. They say, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. Yep. So again, who's in control? If you've been living this Christian life with just Jesus being your homeboy and just riding along with you, and you just slap a prayer, be like, Jesus, you know, you bless this, then I'm just going to tell you, let's reevaluate. Because it doesn't seem like that's what the Bible is saying means to follow God genuinely. But if you want to experience God in new ways, listen, this is huge. If we want to experience God the way we see him in the Bible, which I want to do that, I want to experience God move in ways, we have to learn to be open-handed. We have to learn to be able to trust that he's in control, that he is good, that he actually is who he says he is. And because he is who he says he is, we can trust him. He's allowed to do as he sees fit. Wish you could see your faces right now. But I'm just saying, we're not here to just be able to play church. I want you to experience the God of the Bible and you begin to trust him in ways that you can't even imagine. I want us to be able to step into things that we're scared witless, but we believe because God said, hey, step out and do this. We do it because he said so. Amen. Yep. That's the church that we're trying to be. Yep. We can't be that if we're in control. So join with me as we're processing, learning to be empty-handed, learning to be open-handed with our faith, because Peter's going to step right into this, and the rest of this letter and the next letter, he's going to tell us that we have access to a hope that endures, to a living hope. But we have to be confronted with the fact that life is not about us. Life is not about your fame. It's not about my glory, the name that I can create for myself, but it's all about him. It's not about my plans or what I would like to experience or accomplish, but it's God's will for me. It's God's will for you. It's not about my ability to control or to pull things off in my own strength, but it's all about God showing off how amazing he truly is. It's not my kingdom, but his. So I want to ask you one more time, and I'll get out of your way. Who's in control? So with that as the backdrop, I want to remind us of what we walked through last week in 1 Peter verses 1 and 2. And so I want to remind you, Pastor Tim gave us the visual of the five different groups of people that are mentioned there. And so what's going on is that this group of people, they've come to faith in Jesus, and now their lives are flipped upside down. Now they're being stripped of everything they know and they've grown accustomed to, and they're being forced to move into places that are very far away from what they've known. And so try to put yourself in their shoes. Do you think that you would think like, wait, I just put my faith in Jesus. What happened? And so Peter, I love his heart being led by the Holy Spirit. Peter, he's writing to these people to encourage them in the midst of this. He's encouraging them that in the midst of all your suffering and sacrificing, Peter is writing this letter to encourage them to hold on to faith. Yep. Hold on to the faith. He's speaking to them and he's saying, God has not forgotten you. The pain and suffering that you're experiencing does not mean that God has forgotten you. And so what we're going to walk through in the next couple of weeks as we walk through 1 Peter, we're going to see that pain, difficulties, and suffering are not evidence that God is against you. Somebody needs to hear that. Pain, difficulties, and suffering is not evidence that God is against you, but rather it is evidence for your need for God. Control. So the fact that I'm going through something difficult right now is evidence that maybe I've been holding on and forcing something that I'm doing in my own strength. Open up. Man, God's in control. It's evidence that we need more than what we could bring to the table. But they are also opportunities for us to recognize our inability, our insufficiency, and lack of control, while at the same time, invitations to experience the Father. To experience the Father, sometimes you got to go through the junk. Absolutely. Which is why in America, we lack the power of the gospel. I love what Paul Tripp says. He says this. He says that suffering has the power to expose what you've been trusting all along. So who's in control? So Peter is going to lobby and he's going to beg us to put our hope and our control in the Father. And so let's dive into our grandiose one verse today. We're tackling one verse today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. They say this. They say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ!" Exclamation point. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So what's Peter doing? Remember, we have to be mindful of what these people are going through. Their lives have been flipped upside down. They're suffering. And so what does Peter say to as the very first thing to these people that are suffering? He's inviting them to praise God. Did he say, "Hey, it's okay. Just hold on and, you know, it'll be okay." No, he says, "In the midst of your junk, praise God." Praise God. The first sentence hits us with an exclamation point. He's crying out. He says, "Man, this is the call to praise." He's inviting from the very beginning. And stop looking here. Stop looking around at all the stuff that aren't going the way that you think they are, all the ways that you're being hurt. And what is he saying? He's saying, "Look up. Look up. Behold your God. Praise him. Look and gaze upon the one that you say you believe in. Look at him and praise him." It's an invitation that in the midst of all of our stuff, that praise has the ability to help us endure. Yeah. But listen, that doesn't happen just because you want it to. This isn't Peter saying, "Hey, let's just put on your favorite worship song that really gets you in the feels and just, oh yeah." Peter is inviting you to be able to intentionally lead yourself into worship of the Father. Yep. He's not saying fake it till you make it. He is saying, man, stare upon your God. Be reminded of who God is. And as you do, your response is praise. As we look upon him, we don't care about what's going on here because we understand who our God is. So it doesn't matter that they're suffering the worst kind of suffering that they can imagine. It doesn't matter because guess what? Anything that's happening here fails in comparison to the one who's in control. Yep. And so they aren't just faking it. They're reminding themselves of truth. And that's why it's so important, why we're begging you to dive into Scripture. If you've never taken time to be able to learn how to study the Bible for yourself, read the Bible for yourself, journal, pray, get some help, man. We're here. We have many opportunities for you throughout the week. It's not just because we want you to be able to have a lot of stuff. And we want you to be able to understand that you're getting your pants whooped out there. Yep. If you're not keep... See, look, I did better. We're seasons. I don't know. There we go. You're getting your pants whooped. I said a Ms. Lori, not appropriate word last service, so you missed that. Come to the early service. It's unedited. All right. But anyway, back. Sorry, ADD. Listen, if we're not doing this, if we're not taking time to be able to behold our God, then we're just focusing here. And so you're going to be discouraged. You're going to walk around like, oh, I can't do this. You're going to feel not that great about God because you're not focusing on him. And so I love that what Peter is saying, it's echoed all throughout the New Testament. But I want you to join with me. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Now this is written by Paul. So this isn't Peter. This is Paul, okay? And I want you to notice what's going on here. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. He says this. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's like verbatim, right? So again, he's calling them in the midst of what you're going through. I need you to be able to gaze upon your God. And what's going to happen is you're going to respond in worship. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch. This is how we get ourselves to worship. He says, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places? All right, so stop. So sitting here right now, you're going through your situation and you have no idea what's going on, what God is doing. You just declare that over you. You can understand, man, even though I have things that I need in my life right now, God, I know and I'm claiming to the fact that you've blessed me with everything that I need in the heavenly places. I don't know about you, but I kind of want to be okay in the heavenly places and I can like, okay, whatever goes on here. Yep. I want God's power. Yep. I want God's stuff. All right. And what did this just say? It says that he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Verse 4, he continues on. He says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. All right, so you feel like no, you're being overlooked. You feel like no one cares about you. What does that say about our God? He chose you. You matter to him. Chose you. He keep going. In love. God loves you. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons. Through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So you feel out of place. Man, God has adopted you. You were an orphan. You did not have a place. You were dead in your sin. And yet God has adopted you. He's given you new life. You matter to him. He's embraced you as his child. I don't think they believe me, Tim. Yeah, done made me lose my place here. The purpose of his will. Man, he's working his will. You feel like nothing's going on. You feel like everything's happening, whatever. Man, God is working his plan. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. All right, you've been forgiven. You've been redeemed. You didn't do jack squat for that. Jesus died on the cross. The shed blood. You've been forgiven. I mean, what's going on? This is crazy. Notice, did you do anything yet? No, you didn't do anything, right? In him, we have the redemption of our blood. Verse 8, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose. You're not an accident. He did everything according to his plan. It's not a mistake. A plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Again, he knows what he's doing. Verse 12, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and believed in him were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee for our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit is marking you. But notice, when was the first thing that you and I did here in that whole thing? You heard the gospel and you believed it. I don't know how that all works, but dang, I want it. Right? And so he's saying, you need reason to praise? Man, get into the word, read it, put it into yourself, remind yourself of these truths. Don't just like be like, oh, wow, the person that wrote this is really eloquent. Man, this was written for our own spiritual health and for us to be able to understand that we have a God that loves us, even in this world that tells us that he doesn't even exist. He's breaking through the darkness to be able to say, you matter and he loves you. So in the midst of your pain, when you have you feel those tendencies to be able to turn your back on God, what Peter is saying, man, reject those things and get your eyes up on him. And I believe that some of the breakthrough that we so want is because we're holding on to control. I think that some of the things that we're not experiencing God move in ways that we maybe want in our mind is because we don't want God to be God in our life. So that's why I'm asking you to just be honest with yourself. And it's really uncomfortable. I mean, I'll testify. If you want to know, take me out to coffee. I'll share with you. It's been miserable. All right? I'm just realizing that man, the closer I'm trying to press into God, that he's like, hey, you're still holding on to that. I'm like, gosh, really? I got to let that go too? And he said, hey, trust me. Trust me. And so, hey, the same's going for you. I think that some of the reasons why you're struggling in your faith right now is because you ain't pumping anything in. You're keeping your eyes here and you're not beholding your king. So get your eyes up. Man, let's listen to the words of Peter. And he says, man, this is a call to praise. Why do we praise him? He continues on in 1 Peter. He says, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So Peter's writing to these people as he's saying that even if you have nothing else to praise God for, you can praise him for the fact that he saw you while you were an enemy of his and he brought you to new life and embraced you as a son or a daughter. He's given you new life. But we don't think like that, Tim. That's not good enough for us. Because we don't understand the weight and the glory of what is at stake here. He's saying, man, if you have nothing to praise about, he's reminding that God has brought you to life. And what are we brought to new life for? What does he say? The result is living hope. The result of this new life is that God gives us living hope. So he's asking us. He says, man, I know your situation is less than ideal. I know that things are getting crazy. I know you feel alone. I know you feel like you're sacrificing a lot for God. And he's saying, man, don't look here. Man, behold God, praise him in the middle of all you are walking through. Keep your eyes there and you will receive this living hope. Look, when we're in control, we have this crappy hope. And we try to live in light of that and we muster up this expectation that, man, if I'm just good enough or if I have this positive energy around us or whatever's going on, and then the moment that stuff all crumbles, we're left in despair and what happens? We get angry at God. All the while, God's like, man, you're placing your hope on these things that couldn't hold you. Man, come to me. And Christ gives us true hope. It's not a hope that's dependent on anything in this world, but it's a hope that is founded on the resurrection of Jesus. So if you need proof that something's for real, I mean, the evidence that Christ laid down his life, his physical life. He died, okay? But because he's God, he took up his life again. And so he proved that he is God. And so it's in on the basis of his resurrection that we can now have this hope. He's saying that, man, just in the same way that I have resurrected my body, all of us who put our faith and our hope in him, we will be resurrected in a resurrection just like his. We're going to receive this new life. And we get to celebrate baptism. That's what's going on there. Man, we're recognizing it's surrender. It's surrender to the control of God, and it's not going to be perfect. I'm still in the process of learning too. I don't have perfect surrender, but it's this recognition that God, without you, I've got nothing. So I lay my old life down, and as I come out of that water, I'm new and I'm walking with you. I'm going to walk with you each day. I'm going to learn how to walk with you, follow you, trust in you. Man, that's what we have. We have that living hope. And we're going to walk in the next couple weeks and we're going to unpack what this living hope means for our future. It promises us a future. And we're going to walk into that. I'm not getting ahead of myself. But listen, it has more than just a promised eternity. We have glory awaiting us. But this living hope, since Christ has come back and he is now living, okay, that means that this living hope, that he is with us now. That you aren't walking alone through whatever it is that you're walking through. That Christ is with you, that he is present with you, that he is there to empower you, that he is there to walk with you through everything you go through. We have this living hope. And so what's going on here is that Peter is inviting us into this ability to rely on this living hope instead of our own hope. And what it has the ability to do is that no matter what we're walking through, no matter what we will experience, no matter who lets us down, no matter what goes on in the world in the next however long, no matter if we don't have enough money to buy the eggs that are coming, whatever's going on, we can join with Peter because of this living hope that Christ has died to be able to provide. We can join with Peter and say, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." We can praise in the midst of our trials, of our storms, of our heartache. We can praise. And so the question, again, I'm going to come back to it as we conclude here. I just want to ask you, where is your hope? Where's your hope? What are you trusting in? It's going to be a process until you die and go to glory for you to be able to get through all this stuff. But let's take a step. Let's take a step. And maybe you're here for the first, for a time, and for the very first time, you're kind of swirling, and God is making known to you the fact that you've been relying on yourself. And he is drawing you to come to him, to surrender your life for the first time to him, to be able to receive him as the Lord and Savior he truly is. Then man, what better day to be able to celebrate that than today? Man, come, let's make that a reality. Come down while we're singing. Let's pray with you. We'll get you baptized right now. Yep. But maybe you're like me and you just have come to this realization that maybe your hope has been misplaced. So as we take some time to sing over the next, as we close the service, and as you go about your week, I want you to just contemplate, ask God, man, God, where is my hope? Help me to loosen my grip on the things that I've been holding on to and to see you more. So if we could pray with you for anything in any way, then you don't be afraid. Man, this is trusting in the God. Some of you need prayer today before you leave. Don't leave here. Don't push that down and be embarrassed. Man, we're here. We are begging God to loosen the grips of the enemy over us. Yep. And so, man, ask somebody to pray with you. Let's sing. Let's sing with gratitude because we know that the hope that we have won't put us to shame, but it is a living hope. So let me pray. So, Father, I thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for what you're doing. God, you know my heart. You know how I've been complaining about what you're doing in my own life. Thank you for being gracious to me. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters here who are processing through whatever it is that they're walking through. You know exactly what's going on, but yet the same is true for them that has been going on in me. You are begging us to trust you. You are begging us to be able to lift our eyes upon you instead of our situation. So, Father God, help us to lift our eyes. Help us to see you as you truly are. Help us to understand that you are the maker of heaven and earth, that you are the provider, you are the healer. God, help us. I pray that you would help us to trust you and to not trust in ourselves. So whatever it is you're doing right now, Father, have your way. And it's in your great and mighty name we pray. Amen.